You're listening to The People's Show with Seth, Dan, and Randeep on Sportsnet 650.
.501, the expansion draft is just getting underway. Gary Bettman, NHL commish, is just speaking to the crowd there in Seattle as they get ready to unveil the Kraken's picks, even though we know all 30 of them. And we've even learned of the contract going to Jamie Oleksiak, that breaking in the last segment. 5 years, $4.6 million on the average annual value. I'd say a bit higher and a bit longer than most people would have expected for Jamie Oleksiak. But if you're going to go down the road of using it as your expansion draft choice, you're going to pay the man. And that's what Ron Francis has done. Now the fun really begins as to, now, which GMs are so desperate to get rid of money that they're willing to pay Seattle quite a bit? Or have GMs learned their lesson from what happened against Vegas or with Vegas? That's kind of what we're about to find out as this expansion draft gets underway, Sat.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see if we also see Seattle, if they want to make a big trade. You talk about making a first, getting a first-round pick back in return. Mark Giordano is your best bet in getting that, right? I mean, we can sit here and talk about taking on contracts, and perhaps they do that, you're right, and we'll see if they are able to get a first-round pick going that way. But the easiest way for them to get that first-round pick is Mark Giordano. Is he the guy they flip to make a big splash tonight? Because he's probably the biggest chip they have to play as far as trades go.
He is, and the other player I'd look at maybe acquiring, if you're talking about taking money, Tyler Johnson's still probably on the table, right? If you're Tampa Bay, are you in a position to say, we just won the cup back-to-back, we're in a position right now where we could maybe take a bit of an L here, shed some salary for sure, maybe entice this team to trade for a Tyler Johnson, add an asset, add a sweetener. So I look at Giordano as an option, but I also look at, hey, Seattle is a team that still needs some offensive output. What they have on their roster early days is not good enough. So maybe do you add an incentive for a team like a Tampa Bay that is going to try to restock, reshuffle, and try to win it for a third time in a row next year? Do you incentivize that cap room? So there's either deals that could happen, but I start going through that list and try to find other teams that would want to make that cap room. Like, the Islanders are the ones that pop out because Leo Komarov's contract. But what are they giving up? You mentioned this earlier, Dan. They've pretty much gotten rid of every pick they had in the Andrew Ladd deal and a few other deals. Like, they don't really have that much left. But if I look at a contract on their roster, yeah, they probably don't want that Leo Komarov contract.
Well, teams just aren't, they aren't doing that, you know. I think there is a part of the league that just learned from the Vegas situation, and this will play out tonight. But there's still opportunity to make deals with Seattle. I just don't know if those are going to be the ones that happen. But Tampa is, quite clearly, Tampa's got to get rid of more money. You know, yes, Yanni Gourde is likely to go to Seattle as one of the picks, but they need to get rid of, you know, $5-plus million or $10-plus million off their cap, and Gourde only accounts for about half of that. So they've still got some work to do. I think Tyler Johnson makes the most sense. They'd like to keep Killorn. That's maybe where Seattle gets their first-round draft choice, although it won't be for this year's draft because Tampa doesn't own that right now.
No, and will they trade three first-round picks in a row? I suppose they're all in to win next year again, right? So maybe they do. Or are you able to get a defenseman back in return? Maybe you get Cale Foote back in return, right? Maybe that's something you kind of look at. So I think there are some possibilities here with Tampa as well, because if they're willing to take on a bit more money, or there's somebody willing to take on those players for them, yeah, maybe you get that extra asset. But just looking at it, the Giordano one is the one I'm most intrigued by. Because, yeah, Yanni Gourde, you might be able to move him, but is anybody trading a first-round pick for Yanni Gourde with his salary commitment for the next few years, right? And how he might slot in on the third line for some teams? So I just keep circling back to Mark Giordano, because that's your best way to get a first-round pick and maybe even a player or a prospect that's going to help you out.
We got a great text here from Don in Williams Lake. I think Seattle is bringing in all this low-priced talent and will be receiving many draft picks for not taking the better players available. Don't rip on Francis until we see what they have at training camp. Brings up a good point, and one team that comes to mind immediately. Giordano was a lock to be picked. We all agreed on that yesterday. But one of the other players that I thought 110% would be selected is Jake Bean in Carolina. And they go with Morgan Geekie instead, which was a pretty big-time shock for a lot of people.
Yeah.
You wonder if deals like that were also cut, saying, hey, don't take a Jake Bean. We like him. He's a 23-year-old defenseman. We'll give you a little extra something after the expansion draft is over. So I think Don brings up a good point here.
That's not costing you a first-round pick, though, is it?
No, it won't be a first-round, but you might be able to pick up an additional player or maybe an additional draft pick, right? That's kind of what Vegas did. Hey, don't take this guy. We'll give you a couple other guys.
Yeah. No, for sure. And Leif Rolin says, Philly is one of the other obvious ones for first when you look at who they left exposed. How desperate are they to get off Jacob Voracek, right? Like, yeah. maybe what the Kraken said too was like, hey, we'll take Voracek. Give us something for it, right? Like, it's we're not just taking him off your hands. Same with JVR. Yeah, we'll take one of those guys, but give us a reason to take one of those guys. So how desperate is Philly to move that cash out? The one thing I wonder about Philly, though, is as much as, they want to free up some cash, they have a couple of cards to play. Travis Konecny, he's a guy you can flip for something. And they already made a big move getting Ryan Ellis and shifting things around, getting Nolan Patrick to go out as well. So I think that's a team that's already kind of made its big move, but they could also make another move involving maybe a Travis Konecny or something to freshen things up. So how desperate are they going to be to move those contracts? Are they willing to give up a first-round pick to do so? Or do they just look to swap Konecny to do something?
Marcus in Gibson's, I think it's clear teams are holding on to picks leading up to next year or even in the Connor Bedard year as well. There's a lot that could happen, you look at the different situations. I just wonder, are there going to be prospects that end up with Seattle in order to, kind of show which player you'd like them to take in this expansion draft? Chicago is interesting. They went with Quenneville there when Quenneville is an unrestricted free agent. So it's essentially a nothing pick. Did Chicago pay something in order for Seattle to do that? These are things that we will find out. As it currently stands, right now on Sportsnet 1 is where you can watch the draft. They're just kind of doing an intro and currently a chat with Ron Francis ahead of the picks actually happening.
Doesn't it kind of feel like professional wrestling right now, where you kind of know what the outcome is going to be, but like you're still watching it to see how they dramatize it? Because a part of this broadcast, they were talking about, oh, Seattle could pick Gabriel Landeskog, Carey Price, and we're all muttering, no, they're not.
Now, okay. For all this pomp and circumstance and Jerry Bruckheimer, we were promised, they have a stage. They're by this old area. Like, I see those, that old structure right next to it, which looks like it's like rusting.
Yeah. Gasworks Park. And
So, I mean, it looks like it's rusting and they have it like fence cordoned off. They threw some tarps on it and a bunch of seats outside. Sean Kemp is sweating his, what's off. Like, where's this pomp and circumstance? Even the golf shirt that Ron Francis is wearing is kind of sloppy. So, like, is this the NHL budget version of expansion Bruckheimer? Like, is this made for TV? Jerry Bruckheimer, it's not actually Blockbuster Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yeah. It's not quite Wayne Gretzky in the back of a pickup truck, but it's getting close. It's getting close.
I'm not impressed. Like, so far, what I'm watching, I'm not impressed.
Yeah, this is like, what is going on here? This is not the big time show that we expected.
I think that's a great observation, Sat. The golf shirt that Ron Francis is not a crisp golf shirt. It's not a it's not a newly out of the package golf shirt.
Yes,
Ron's worn this like 3 or 4 times before.
This is Ron's attire every day to the office. He's got a rotation of 5 Kraken golf shirts. Could somebody get him a steamer, please? Jeez.
Like, remember back in the day in high school and stuff when you'd get jerseys or you get like golf shirts for your sports team? You're always like, oh, we're gonna get Nike, and it ends up being some like no-name brand, and you're like, what is this? With like with the team logo somewhere, and it's all like loose fitting and weird.
You get the Zellers brand, right?
Yeah, that's essentially what that golf shirt looked like.
So the Kraken have made their first pick, Jeremy Lauzon from the Boston Bruins. So far, this is all as expected. Currently, Lenny Wilkins is up and chatting with the crowd. I guess he will make the Kraken's second pick, or at least announce it.
This is an important note for trivia fans. Who was the first pick in the expansion draft? Jeremy Lauzon.
Yeah.
Just remember that one. That's the only thing relevant coming out of this night, I think.
The Kraken's first game will be at T-Mobile Arena against the Vegas Golden Knights. So, first game not against the Vancouver Canucks to begin the rivalry that we've waited for so long. The first game will be against the Vegas Golden Knights. The two expansion teams, they're going to really try and build up that rivalry, I guess.
I mean, that'd be fun. You'd rather see Vancouver straight up versus Seattle?
Okay. I think ESPN has other ideas, but yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
But...
Selfishly,
but okay, what day is that? That's like a weekday, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so why wouldn't you push the Vancouver-Seattle first time they played a Friday or Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Like, go prime time, go in the marquee matchup of the week. Don't push it on a Tuesday. That's weak.
Yeah.
And selfishly,
yeah, I like Seattle, yeah.
And selfishly, yeah. I want to work that game on Hockey Night in Canada, so push it to a Saturday.
That too. No, I'm with you. And as far as like if the first Vancouver Seattle game, I'd love for it to be on Hockey Night, right? Like, I'd love for that to be the case on a Saturday night. It does make sense though, because you're trying to put Seattle on during opening night. And what's the best matchup? It is for the U.S. for US and ESPN. It would be Vegas. Like, it wouldn't be Vancouver, right? Like, it's a great rivalry for us, but to put it on the big stage and sell your product, it makes all the sense in the world to go Vegas.
So long as the home opener is Vancouver, Seattle, doesn't matter, right? Like this one is in Vegas.
Yeah.
It being to open up Climate Pledge Arena, that one's got to be Vancouver, Seattle.
Does it though? Like, if you go Friday, Saturday. Or whatever, depending on the schedule. Like, I want to have, like, two games in succession, so all of a sudden you're pumping that I-5 rivalry. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, it's how do you get that, like, that sequencing right so where all of a sudden that rivalry is immediate? Two games, they don't like each other, so... Well,
opening night of the season is probably a Wednesday, right?
Exactly.
And then Saturday, Monday, something like that, or Friday, Sunday, yeah. Vancouver, Seattle, home-and-home series would be ideal. A couple of more picks coming in. William Borgen and Dennis Cholowski. You should know all these by now, but I'm just keeping you up to date so that you know the picks that were reported are actually happening currently on this Seattle expansion draft broadcast.
There's a giant inflated octopus on a boat.
Is that a kraken or just an octopus?
Apparently. Yeah, it looks like a squid maybe, or an octopus.
There was a real octopus also. A real octopus revealed the Dennis Cholowski pick.
Yes. Yeah. So,
he's coming from Detroit. I get the reference, but it's still lame.
Yeah, this is prime production. I mean, this is Jerry Bruckheimer.
Yes.
Armageddon, everything. All in one.
Well, we're being ripped for ripping Ronnie Franchise's golf shirts. Gordy Locke, you guys are ripping Ronnie's golf shirt. Reach wore his Vancouver shirt in Budapest. Sat's Grizzly trash jersey and Randeep's $600 sweater all say hi.
Hey, unlike the NHL, at least I invested in my sweater, right?
Yeah. Well, I'll say I do have Sportsnet. The Sportsnet golf shirts are actually pretty nice. I'll say that. Like, they're Nike, so they're nice.
Look at Sat flexing that he's the only guy around here that actually has Sportsnet golf shirts. Thanks a lot, Sat.
The only reason I got them is because, like, I was hanging with the Toronto crowd.
Oh, another flex that you got sent down to Dunedin for spring training. Very, very nice.
I mean,
make fun of my flexes on the show.
No. But I'm just saying the only reason I even got one is because I was with that crowd. If I wasn't with that crowd, there's no way I'm getting a Nike golf shirt.
Okay, actually, on that note.
Sent me down there in first class, and boy, the meals were fantastic.
No, we didn't get first class.
Yeah,
staying at the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh,
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, you guys really got to go to Dunedin for spring training one year, you know?
2 years.
We can't even get a polo over
down
here.
There.
Hey, okay, Bic, you do a show with the boss. Do you at least have a polo?
Yeah, right.
Thought I knew the answer to that, and I did, yes.
You want to know how I got my one Sportsnet polo?
You stole it.
No.
Yeah.
I was doing pretty lame, but I was doing a Facebook Live Q&A with TFC goalkeeper Alex Bono.
Oh.
Okay. That's the only reason I got it. So, Randeep, I don't know. Like, you got all the fancy hockey
I got the
night.
Hockey Night stuff.
You got the Hockey Night stuff. That's pretty great, and I'm kind of jealous of it, not going to lie. Maybe one day you'll throw some my way. Maybe. I'd just like to rep the brand. I don't know. But
well, I generally wear a large, though, so you're kind of screwed.
So for all the Dunedin stuff, and we're just joking around about everything, but
yes,
I'll say,
yes. The three of us are certainly joking around.
But I will say this. It's not always glamorous. All I'll say about Dallas is that it's now the infamous Blanchard Six for one reason. I'll leave it at that. And I can't say anymore. I think there's an NDA involved when it comes to the Dallas experience. And then when it came to training camp, myself, Canberra, well, I mean, we shacked up. Let's just put it that way. And we did what we had to do to cover Canucks training camp in Victoria.
I'll do whatever I can to get a polo, okay? Yeah.
We got Vicky from Poco texting in. Dan and Randeep have Reach Deep t-shirts. Yes, thank you.
Yes, we
Vicky,
do.
Vicky, you provided us t-shirts, and our boss has not given us polos yet. So shout to Vicky on that.
There was a great text from Crypto Cow earlier. Because, you know, we're going through the expansion draft now. Does Jared McCann get a Leaf video? Like, if I'm the Kraken and I, like, Jared McCann remains on the roster for at least this season. When the Leafs come to visit Climate Pledge Arena, I play the video of Kevin Weeks catching the fish and the whole bit. Like, there's your Leafs tribute video for Jared McCann. But it has to happen in Seattle or else it doesn't make sense.
Has Jared McCann received a tribute video in any of the markets he was in? I think that's a valid question.
I mean, Derek Pouliot got a tribute video.
Man,
here,
okay, so. We need to reassess why we do tribute videos. Like, I think we've reached a point in society. It's like we've gone too far.
Right.
We've gone too far.
I'll say, though, with how Seattle selected its team, it's very analytically driven, right? And Jared McCann analytically was one of the top players in the league last season, right? So it does fit into their MO and how they kind of view things and the other selections that they've made for their team. But the truth with Jared McCann also is every stop he's gone to, nobody's been upset about getting rid of him, right? Like, and I'm not trying to say anything about that. I'm not trying to, you know, throw any dirt at him, but I think there's something at least to acknowledge there that everywhere he's gone, they've been happy to get off from him pretty quickly.
So we can focus on controlled zone entries, controlled zone exits, but city entries and exits are pretty high for Jared McCann as well. Is that what we're trying to say?
He
99th percentile.
Yeah, he does those with extreme efficiency. Chris Drieger has been announced by the Seattle Kraken, and he's actually in attendance for this one as well as they worked out a contract for what looks to be their number one goalie. The other reported goaltenders that they've taken, Vanacek from Washington and Joey Decord from the Ottawa Senators. On that note, how do we feel about Kyle Dubas trading for Jared McCann in order to protect, I guess, in a way, Alex Kerfoot and Travis Dermott? You know, essentially giving the Kraken something else to take from their roster that they didn't already have. I see it from, okay, we're trading this player or trading for this player just so that we have third line center pretty much still settled for our team. You know, if they take Kerfoot, then hey, we have McCann. If they take McCann, well, we still have Alex Kerfoot. It's the one like side deal that we had in the lead up to the draft, sort of. But I'm not sure I'm in love with how Kyle Dubas handled the whole situation.
I don't love it either. I mean, do you love Alex Kerfoot that much to make that deal, right? And I guess, but there's a lot of assets being spent on little value so far by Kyle Dubas as well. I mean, they've done a good job, and I don't have any ill will towards Dubas or even some of the grander scheme ideas they've had. I think they have done a lot of good things in that organization, but there is a bit too much galaxy brain going on with that team, right? I mean, you give up all those assets you had to to get off Marlowe. So you traded a first-round pick to do that. You go and trade a first-round pick for Nick Foligno. And then now you're trading a player who was taken in the second round so you can keep Alex Kerfoot. Like, there's a lot of assets being spent to maintain a roster, which is pretty good but has underachieved and does have some flaws they still have to address. That's what I don't quite understand here.
Yeah, this is a weird one to be loyal to, though, right? Like, if you're talking about the top four on that team, I understand where the loyalties lie. You have a lot of assets tied up into it. But to pick up, you know, Filip Hallander for in that Kasperi Kapanen deal, like, yeah, he was a part of that package, and then you get rid of another seventh-round pick, which is not the end of the world, but if you're somebody that a team that's going to have to value those picks as you try to find, you know, more cheaper options through the draft, it's a weird one. I understand loyalty, especially on the high end, but this was a weird one to me where you all of a sudden, you trade for this guy, you give up decent amounts of, you know, Filip Hallander's not a, he's a prospect. He's not a guy.
Not a nothing prospect.
He's a second round pick. Yeah. Let's put it that way. I don't get that either, but can you get value somewhere else? Like, is he expecting essentially other cheaper players to come
available?
Why
are you so worried about losing Alex Kerfoot?
That's what I don't get. And I can't answer that question because Alex Kerfoot's a decent depth option, but he's still making $3.5 million, guys.
Yeah,
it's not like he's cheap.
Well, you traded for a better player in Jarrett McCann, who they took, right? Like,
loyalty.
I, you know, when
for
it,
whatever
when
reason
when they traded for McCann, I figured they were trading for him to protect him. You know, because I think highly of the player that McCann has become, and I thought it made sense. Okay, maybe we're going to lose Kerfoot here, but at least we have McCann. We think that's an upgrade potentially over Alex Kerfoot. But that's not how this all played out, quite obviously. And it's a questionable move that the Maple Leafs made. A lot of questionable moves for Kyle Dubas lately. First-round pick for Nick Foligno, who's now going to head to Minnesota. I mean, it's just a lot of moves in that you're trying to figure out how to optimize your roster because it's underachieved perennially, it seems, every year.
I kind of would have been happy with the cap space. Like, give me the extra $3.4 million. Just give me that $3.4 million. I'll hold on to that prospect, and I can do something else somewhere, right? Like, that's how I would have approached it.
We got a great text here, guys.
Okay.
Nathan and Poco. I thought I'd be watching the expansion draft, but all the announcement today actually took my interest away completely. I'd rather listen to Riccio talk about his espresso machine.
The Spro machine is in good shape. Okay. Recently descaled, so it's nice and fresh and producing Spro at a very high level.
I think he was being like,
sarcastic. Yanni Gourde has just been selected by the Seattle Kraken. And now still no trades have been announced of any sort. So Sat is really cold water. Sat is looking pretty great right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not excited by it, but maybe after all the picks, I mean, even Elliot Friedman, his text was his tweet about promoting the show. He's like, sure to be surprises, and he had the like whelp emoji kind of like, yeah. Like, I don't know. What are we expecting here? We'll see.
So, what was the biggest surprise out of the lists today? Was it Carey Price not getting selected by the Seattle Kraken?
Not for me, it wasn't. That one, you know, we talked about this yesterday. Carey Price, I think, would have been a mistake, especially with the contract situation. The one that I still kind of scratch my head at is Carolina. Like, I thought Jake Bean would be a lock. I thought it'd be a slam dunk. 23-year-old defenseman. I understand they picked up other defensemen. But if you look at what Carolina did versus Vegas, Vegas picked up 15D, whereas Seattle thus far has picked up 12. But they left some on the table and some pretty decent ones. So I think Jake Bean, where a player that Ron Francis knows quite well, and maybe there's a side deal there and the reason that they didn't end up taking him, there's another reason there. But that one kind of shocked me to say, okay, this is a quality defenseman. He projects to be a very good player in the future. I'm surprised they didn't take him. Morgan Geekie's all right, but Jake Bean I thought would be a slam dunk.
It's the Jake Bean one. I feel there has to be some kind of protection side deal on that one because it just doesn't necessarily make sense. Jake Bean, as an asset, whether you're flipping him or keeping him, would have been the top player off of Carolina's protection list. Or if you were, you know, looking for scores, looking for a guy that could help out right away, Nino Niederreiter was there and available as well. Jared McCann, the Kevin Weeks video has finally been shown. In reality, it's the McCann video, not the Kerfoot take that we saw get leaked on the internet. You know, looking at this roster, it just seemed like, look, thinking back to the Carey Price situation, Sat, that was the biggest game of poker of all time. You know, and both Bergevin and Francis called each other's bluff, but Bergevin really is the one that comes out flexing most, because the Kraken tried to, even afterwards, after Montreal revealed that they were not protecting Price, the Kraken tried to get Montreal to somehow believe they needed to pay the Seattle Kraken to not take Carey Price. And Mark Bergevin stood firm the whole time. I got to think Bergevin feels pretty good about how the whole situation played out.
I bet you he was pretty nervous at one point, and he kind of wondered, especially when all the leaks came out and all the reports about maybe them having some second thoughts about this approach they've taken with Carey Price. But at the end, he played his cards perfectly, right? They didn't lose anything they didn't want to lose. They keep Carey Price, and they keep Jake Allen. I mean, this has been a really good year for Mark Bergevin, and it worked out pretty well for him in this situation again.
It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. Now, more picks are happening. There's more fish flying around at the expansion draft as well. The question for the Vancouver Canucks is still up in the air as well. What do they do? We'll try and dive into some of that coming up next as the People's Show continues. Hey, golfers, get great Vancouver golf for less. Go to discountgolfcard.ca for all the details and to order your Vancouver discount golf card today. It's the People's Show, Sportsnet 650.
Now back to The People's Show with Sat, Dan, and Randeep on the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
People's Show, the expansion draft rolling on in Seattle. Morgan Geeky and Nathan Bastian of the Carolina Hurricanes and New Jersey Devils have recently been selected, as has Gavin Bayreuther of the Columbus Blue Jackets. We will bring you to some of those picks as they come along. Now, the Canucks pick is yet to be made. It is going to be Cole Lind, as has been reported earlier today. But still a lot for the Canucks to work out here. And we haven't heard of any side deals happening just yet. Maybe that'll happen as the night goes on. But, you know, Braden Holtby, Nate Schmidt continue to be names that are very much up and out there for the Vancouver Canucks as to what they might do in the future. And that's, over the next 24 hours, that's really where Canucks fans' focus should be, is do they make a move to open up some cap space that way?
And that's what they have to do. If you want to make any action happen beyond what you've already done, you have to clear cap space. That's the only way you're going to do things, unless you make a trade. Is that something we see, right? Like, do we see something where the Canucks are actually able to flip a contract to a player that helps them? Is that maybe a solution?
Yeah, that's a, you know, with all the moves that you want to make, and we can speculate and hypothesize who you're going to go after, but it's all a moot point unless you can move that salary. And, you know, we know there are certain players that unless you add a sweetener, you're not going to get much. And that's why you have to look at those two names you mentioned.
Jordan Eberle has just been selected, and he's there speaking in Seattle.
And seeing all your new fans.
Yeah, it's an amazing turnout to everyone here in the boats. this is really the first time for me in Seattle other than junior, but to see the passion here, the fans, obviously very, very excited.
Yeah, and Jordan, just wanted to ask you, too, you've been so close to that Stanley Cup the last 2 years. What excites you about this new challenge at the birth of a franchise here in Seattle?
Well, it's a new challenge, just like you said. You don't get many opportunities to be part of a new franchise, and you know, anytime you get that opportunity, you can bring a cup to a city that's never had it before. That's pretty special.
All right, Jordan, you look sharp. Appreciate you being here. You get settled in, and then we'll continue to fill out the board and see who your teammates are. By the way,
Jordan Eberle speaking as he gets selected from the New York Islanders, and he is the most expensive forward that they've taken so far, and of the reported picks as well. And you know what? A pretty obvious selection for me as well, because he's just, I mean, he's still a good player, even at 31 years old.
The age is fine, but even beyond that, he's been playing in a very defensive system the last 4 years in New York. And that first year when he got to the Islanders, he did have 59 points. But since then, we've seen it kind of stumble, you know, 37 points on a 78-point season in 2018-2019. This is a guy that, yeah, playing first-line minutes in a system that is supposed to be more, you know, aggressive than the Islanders. The Islanders play their, you know, their very structured defensive system. You'd expect him to be back in that 60 to 65 point range. Like, I know there's not many scorers there, guys, but Jordan Eberle, the skill that he has, he should be a 20 to 25 goal scorer every single year.
And I wonder, getting into a system that's going to be a bit different, and we'll see how ultimately Seattle plays, right? But I can see him perhaps doing a bit more in a place where they're not playing that stringent style the way they play with the New York Islanders, right? So I do think there's some goal scoring pop there for him. Is the biggest key for them, though, going to have to be that who's their William Karlsson? Do they have players like that? Like, or do they have guys where they're identifying players that need opportunities and in bigger roles become stars? Are they going to be able to turn one of these players into a player like William Karlsson or a Shea Theodore on the back end?
That's going to be one of the interesting parts that we find out about this. Colin Blackwell has just been selected by the Seattle Kraken from the New York Rangers. Now, there may be more to come on that front. And one thing I do wonder is, as it pertains to the trades, are we going to hear them tonight, or will most of that we'll be hearing tomorrow? Let's go back to the broadcast, and let's listen into a conversation with Ron Francis at the expansion draft.
Organization got a great group assembled to evaluate players and to help you make these choices, but hard work doesn't always show up in the numbers. What are the components that go into selecting a guy like Blackwell?
Well, I mean, you look at a player first of all and foremost to see how he plays, and then certainly we have a talented analytical team, so we look at the numbers. We're hoping that they match up, and that makes our decision easy. And certainly in this case, this guy's a guy that comes and works hard every single night. Had a good run last year scoring goals, and we're hoping he can do the same thing for us moving forward.
Awesome. The board is filling up.
There is
Ron
Francis speaking
here
about Colin Blackwell as one of their selections, if he will even remain on the roster. This is kind of the hard part that I'm struggling with this broadcast. You know, we know all the picks. We know there's rumored trades. This is kind of the hard part with it is we already know everything that's going to happen. They've even mentioned Carey Price on the broadcast a couple of times, as Hockey Twitter has informed me. So that's kind of the problem when Frank Saravalli and Chris Johnson are breaking everything.
Okay, what's the certainty here? We know that four players will be on this team. Adam Larson,
mm-hmm.
Jamie Oleksiak.
Yeah.
You have
Chris Driedger.
Chris Driedger and Jordan Eberle.
Yeah.
Because they're there. Outside of that, anybody else could be traded, right? And could be on the move depending on what those other moves are. So I think the certainty at this point is anybody that they're promoting actively or they've signed because they selected UFA status, guys, like, yeah, this is the weird part, because 4 years ago you had 10 trades immediately after the expansion draft, like mm-hmm. going back to back to back. They made some moves. George McPhee was not shy about making those moves. When do those deals come for this expansion draft? A, will there be 10? That's a huge question. Are GMs going to be that active? But when is the question as well?
Yeah, and you know, when I look at their team too, just looking over the players they've selected, I don't think guys like John Quenneville, Alex True, Carson Twaronski, Cole Lynn, right? Gavin Bayreuther, Kale Fleury, you know, Curtis McDermott, I don't think these guys are going anywhere, guys, right? Like, I think those guys are players that don't exactly have a ton of trade value either. They were left unprotected. Morgan Geeky as well. I think these are guys they're making bets on, cheap bets on, and hey, if it doesn't work out, you go into the minors and you move on here, right? But I do think outside of that, Tyler Pitlick, Kalle Yarncroc, Brandon Tanev, Jonas Donskoy, Yanni Gourde, Mark Giordano, those are the guys to keep an eye on trade-wise.
Brandon Tanev, the name you mentioned there, though, it was weird. And, you know, Dan, you mentioned it. When he was selected, you wonder if there's a side deal because he doesn't necessarily profile as the type of player that maybe Ron Francis wants to pick up, right? That's a pretty significant salary. The term is there as well. Now, could he be on the move going forward here as well? Is that a player that you make a deal with Pittsburgh to say, okay, we'll select, but he ain't staying here very long? Is there potential for that?
It's one of the, like, it's the one pick that just didn't really seem to sit well, you know? Like, when I saw it, didn't seem like Ron Francis and the Seattle Kraken were interested in taking on term. And why would you be, you know? Like, if you're taking on term from another team, my eye, like the way I would look at it is I'd better be getting something on top of that. If I'm helping you out, what are you giving me to alleviate your issue? And not that Pittsburgh had to get rid of Brandon Tanev to settle their salary cap issues, but it certainly helps them to lose $3.5 million off of their books right now and open up some extra cap space. They currently only have $3 million or so. So you get an extra $3.5 million. I imagine that Pittsburgh had to pay something in order to make that happen because they had cheaper options, younger options that would make a lot of sense. Kind of looking at what else Seattle has built out here. Brandon Tanev doesn't really fit that. So, you know, it's not that I don't like him as a player. Just it doesn't seem like what Seattle prioritized elsewhere in the draft, right?
No, it doesn't, right? And that's why whether it's, hey, maybe Pittsburgh gave you something to take that cap hit off your hand. I mean, that's certainly in play here. I guess that's a possibility. Also, on that Pittsburgh team, though, they're not probably giving a first-round pick for you to take Chris Tanev. The Carolina one, Morgan Geeky, I would say that, okay, you go back and look at his progression. He's not too far off Steven Lorenz, right? I think they're pretty similar. He's a bit younger. He's a legitimate prospect there.
Yeah.
But like you guys mentioned earlier too, is there something else going on with Carolina? Because it certainly seems like on the surface, it left value on the table.
Absolutely. The Seattle Kraken will pick Adam Larsson from the Edmonton Oilers. That deal is now being finalized. Puckpedia with the details of it. 4 years at a $4 million cap hit. It starts with a $2.5 million salary and $3.5 million, $5.5 million, $4.5 million as it goes on. And he's got a full no trade clause in the first 2 years of the deal as well. And that's Carson Torinsky has just been selected by the Seattle Kraken. That's now going to be, you know, one right-hand shot off the books, off the free market, or potentially off the free market. And for a team like the Canucks, who aren't the only ones in that sort of market looking for right shot D help, that's probably the biggest name alongside David Savard that was out there and available, at least from a defensive defenseman standpoint. I mean, Tyson Barrie's out there, but it's a totally different player type than what Adam Larsson or David Savard is.
Yeah, and this is a player that was on the radar. So now that he is off the radar, where do your sights go? You go to a David Savard. If we look at, you know, price point, probably around that same four and a half range.
Let's go back to Seattle. Cammy Granato announcing the next pick.
Great, you know, last couple weeks because we knew it was so close and we've worked a couple years on this. So this day has come. It's pretty amazing to look out at this crowd and just really proud to be a part of it.
You're also a pioneer. There are no other full-time female scouts in professional sports. So congratulations to the Kraken organization and to you for earning that right.
Thank you very much. I hope there's more to come after this. So
I think it's symbolic that what Ron and the Brain Trust has done is assemble a really interesting core group of people to evaluate players. That there's a lot of diverse backgrounds, a lot of young people who crunch those numbers, even right. Talking about interesting group.
It is, and I think that's the thing that the ownership, Ron, and all our staff has done to keep inclusion and diversity in mind from the beginning. And it's laid such a strong foundation for our team. I feel privileged to be a part of such a great organization already.
You should be.
Yeah.
All right, let's announce the contribution from the Pittsburgh Penguins.
From the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Seattle Kraken select Brandon Tanev. And Brandon is here with us today. Brandon?
Brandon, welcome. Say hello to Cammy.
How are you?
Cammy, how are you?
Congrats.
What's going on, Kraken fans?
Knows how to play to the crowd, not afraid to do the dirty work in hockey. What is it about throwing your body in front of a flying puck that you like?
It's not a glamorous job, but I mean, anything the team asks is what you want to go out there and do, and the guys appreciate it in the locker room, so it's not the best thing in the world, but it's fun to get something done for the fans and for the boys out there.
Yeah, Brandon's I promise you, this guy will be one of your fan favorites. He hits everything that moves.
You're going to have, speaking of that, potential run-ins with your older brother Christopher in this division. He plays for Calgary. Have you guys talked already? Did you share the secret with him?
I hadn't shared the secret with him. I was going to wait for him to see it on the air tonight, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be exciting for our family, and it's going to be a special thing to play against him. I see you guys are all laughing at my headshot from last year. I appreciate that.
What happened just before the picture was taken,
Brandon? To be honest with you, I saw a ghost, so that's the story I'm going with, and I'm sticking with that one all the way.
Was that your reaction when you heard about the Kraken selection? All right, you're a good sport. We appreciate that. And have a great career here. Enjoy yourself.
Brandon Tanev getting selected by the Seattle Kraken, and he's in attendance, which does hint towards him being a guy. I guess they see they're building their leadership core with Brandon Tanev as a part of it, and that's no side deal. Just we like Brandon Tanev as part of our leadership group. Is how I'm reading that, because they wouldn't put him out there to the crowd if he was potentially getting flipped tomorrow to someone else.
Sean and Langley says, it sounds like Seattle's trying to moneyball this with analytics. And yeah, maybe.
Well, is there a conversation there? Like, what? How far have analytics come, and how much have they been integrated into the game? Because you kind of see it in baseball now where it's everybody's kind of like-minded, and it's even harder to uncover, you know, things that aren't being looked at by every franchise. You know, how much room for error is there still on the part of NHL teams that they're missing on guys or just not seeing players that have more to give than the opportunities they're being given currently?
Well, Francis and Carolina kind of already had that mindset. But then when Seattle was organizing their group, even before Ron Francis, what you heard was, hey, we're going to do it different. Analytics is going to be a part of this organization. They invested heavily into that side of things. So, you know, there's this idea that, and even when we were doing the mock draft, there's this idea that, okay, you got to take risks. You got to take that big swing on one or two players. Not necessarily when you're starting this thing out. And I think that conservative mindset that we thought Francis might have, coupled with, hey, we're going to be the smartest guys in the room mentality, we're seeing that in front of us, right? You might take some calculated risk. Like Brandon Tanev is a player that, at face value, that term on that deal doesn't look great, but he is a guy that does, you know, play his game well, and they're going to need a lot of that. They're going to need some high-end guys, but they're going to need guys that play elevated into the lineup. Can you get a little bit more out of that $3.6 million? Maybe in other markets he hasn't been able to show that he can have.
Right.
So there's a potential for that, but I think that, you know, this strategy should not surprise us based on Ron Francis's past in Carolina and what Seattle was saying before they even launched this thing. We're going to do it differently.
Right, and I see JJ and Victoria texting in saying Tanev is good value, in my opinion. He brings a lot. Not sure why y'all are sketched out by this pick. It just doesn't fit in with the rest of the selections they made and how careful they were adding salary, adding him, and how many years he has left on the contract. That's what's kind of seemed out of place, especially when Zach Aston-Reese is a very similar player making $1 million you could have got, and that was an easier way to go about it, right? So I just think it just didn't quite make sense. But here's the thing. they're doing things a bit differently. And as much as they're going to be competitive and they want to put a team out there, them talking about Brandon Tanev and him being physical and bringing that element, I also think they want to showcase that side of hockey a bit as well in Seattle. And hey, like, we have guys that can rough and tumble a little bit and make it exciting from a physical standpoint. But unlike Vegas, this is not a new major sports market, right? I mean, they've had the Mariners there for there forever. They've struggled. We know how good they are with the Seahawks. The Sonics were there in the past. You see college sports thrive in Washington State.
Well, Sounders are the most supported team in MLS, arguably.
Well, there you go, right? So this is not a market where you have to necessarily convince them about a sport. So maybe you don't have to go in and be as aggressive as Vegas was right away. Maybe you can play the long game a little bit, and maybe that is what they're doing.
This is the People's Show. Numbers coming in on Twitter and saying, I guess the Kraken are keeping Tanev since he is there. And another one, Willie Desjardins. This comes in on the text box. Willie Desjardins approves of all of these selections.
They're going to show real good battle levels. Real good. Real good.
It is the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. The NHL draft coverage on Sportsnet 650 is brought to you by Andrew Sherritt Limited, your local family and employee-owned wholesale distributor. With locations across Western Canada, purchase heating, plumbing, and irrigation supplies online at sherritt.com. It's the People's Show on Sportsnet 650.